Can you tell me what essential thrombocythemia is and why it's difficult to treat?
So essential thrombocythemia, or I'll call it ET for short, is a fairly rare blood cancer, and it's one of a group of blood cancers called myeloproliferative neoplasms. And there are three main types of this: myelofibrosis, polycythemia vera, and ET. And we previously studied ruxolitinib in myelofibrosis and polycythemia vera, and now, as you know, are embarking on this study in ET. What ET does for the patient is basically characterized by elevated level of blood platelets. That's the main factor that we see with ET. In many patients, they also have an elevated white blood cell count, but they don't have any other significant bone marrow abnormalities that may occur in other types of cancer or indeed in conditions like myelofibrosis. Many patients with ET can live for decades with elevated platelet counts and never have a problem, but there is an increased risk of significant complications. Those complications in particular include thrombosis or blood clots, and paradoxically may also include significant bleeding. Those blood clots can lead to significant health consequences like heart attacks or strokes. The third major complication is transformation to the more serious myelofibrosis condition, or in fact to acute leukemia. And so between the thrombosis or blood clots, the bleeding, and the risk of leukemia, those are the major complications for patients with ET. So while a lot of patients with ET never have those problems, and many of them are very well controlled with hydroxyurea, which is the standard of care for the initial treatment of patients with ET, there are a subset of patients who are at increased risk for these significant complications.
And you just mentioned hydroxyurea here. A lot of patients tend to develop a resistance to this kind of medication. Can you talk about why that is?
So there are a few reasons that patients may develop resistance or intolerance to hydroxyurea. So one is that, and we don't know the exact mechanism, but basically some patients just will not have a significant reduction in their platelet count despite being treated with adequate doses of hydroxyurea. In some cases, they'll have some reduction in the platelet count, but will have a very significant reduction to abnormal levels of other blood counts, like very low white blood cell count or anemia. And so in those situations, the hydroxyurea would need to be discontinued because of the adverse effects. And then some patients can also develop other complications related to side effects of the hydroxyurea, such as leg ulcers or other skin conditions, or fevers that can be related to hydroxyurea. So while many patients can tolerate it and respond very well to hydroxyurea, there's a subset of patients who either will not have an adequate response to hydroxyurea and are somewhat resistant to it, or will have complications related to it. And it's in those patients that there are no great standard of care for treatment of those patients.
So in November, Incyte said it expects to treat 120 people with this rare blood cancer in a clinical trial, and that they had already treated one patient. How many more people have started clinical trials since, and how is that all going so far?
So we have a few patients on the study right now. I can't comment on the exact number, but what I can say is it's been fairly difficult screening patients for this trial. And that's partly because the trial is designed really for those patients who really need an additional medicine after hydroxyurea. So those patients that we really feel are at significant risk of developing long-term complications related to the disease. So in addition to requiring patients with high platelet counts, which is, as I said, the hallmark of the disease, we're also requiring patients to have elevated white blood cell counts, which also increases the risk of these long-term complications like thrombosis and bleeding. So because of those study requirements, we've had a lot of patients that have failed the screening criteria, and so it's been rather slow to enroll, at least initially. But we are bringing a lot of investigators and hospitals onto the study and hope that the recruitment will pick up in the near future.
So for patients that have passed the screening criteria here, what does that treatment look like and how frequently is the clinical trial?
So the main assessment period of the clinical trial is over 1 year. We can't tell right now how the patients are doing because the study is a blinded study. So basically the patients don't know whether they're receiving ruxolitinib or whether they're receiving the comparator, which is anagrelide, which is the one of the approved standards of care for patients who are resistant or intolerant to hydroxyurea. So the study is comparing these two medications, but the patients don't know which one they're getting, and neither do we. So we can't tell how the patients are doing on the study. But what our goal is for the study is not only to see if we can bring the platelet count and the white blood cell count down to normal levels, but also to show that we can do that in a sustained manner over the course of the year of treatment. So many patients on treatment for ET will have a relatively transient decrease in the platelet count, but ultimately to have benefit for the patient, that decrease in the platelet count needs to be sustained over many months. And so that's the goal of the study, is not only to reduce those counts, but to keep them down and keep them in a normal level over the duration of the study, which, as I said, is up to 1 year of treatment.
And what are we seeing so far in the patients with ET being treated by ruxolitinib so far? Is there strong evidence that this is working so far that Incyte can share?
So at this stage, it's too early to tell, because right now the patients don't know whether they're receiving ruxolitinib or the comparator drug, which is anagrelide, one of the standards of care in patients who've previously received hydroxyurea. So it's important to reduce any bias that may occur in the conduct of the study to have a blinded comparison where neither the patient nor the physician nor Incyte knows at this time what treatment the patient is receiving. Ultimately, once the recruitment of the study is complete, we will reveal who received which drug and then be able to compare the two drugs and the outcome that patients had depending on which treatment they received.
And I'm speaking with Incyte's Peter Langmuir, and we're talking about a clinical trial to treat people with a rare blood cancer. So, Peter, what about ruxolitinib did Incyte think could work for people with ET?
So ruxolitinib has been approved for the treatment of myelofibrosis and polycythemia vera, which are two of the myeloproliferative neoplasms. Ruxolitinib works by inhibiting signaling by a key signaling molecule in the cell called JAK protein. And JAK signaling is abnormally activated in any of these myeloproliferative neoplasms. So through its effects in myelofibrosis and polycythemia vera, we had a hypothesis that would also potentially have benefits in patients with essential thrombocythemia, where JAK signaling is also important. Now, Incyte did conduct a small study that was recently published looking at 39 patients with essential thrombocythemia, and patients in that study showed some decreases in their platelet counts. Patients who had elevated white blood cell counts also had decreases in the white blood cell count. Some of the patients had large spleens, which can also be a sign in some patients with ET, and in those patients, the spleen size decreased towards normal. And then some patients with ET can also have some symptoms related to the disease, and so some of those patients who had symptoms had improvement in symptoms. So based on these preliminary data from a relatively small study, we made the decision to embark on this larger comparative study to compare ruxolitinib to the current standard of care, which is anagrelide.
So what is Incyte's timeline for this clinical trial, and what are the next steps?
So right now we expect to complete the trial in 2020. At that time, once we have the final data, we would plan to present it at scientific conferences as well as publish it. And depending on the outcome of the trial, we'll make a decision about moving ahead with discussions with FDA and filing a supplemental NDA or new drug application for registration. But that will depend on the outcome of the study at that time.
And how do you think that this drug could revolutionize treatment?
Based on the data that we saw from the small study that we completed, if we can show that ruxolitinib reduces platelet counts, reduces the white blood cell count, and hopefully also has some benefits on symptoms as well, the hope is that those findings will translate into reduction in the significant risks for ET. So basically, we hope that by reducing the platelet count to normal, by reducing the white blood cell count to normal, that will reduce the risk of these long-term complications such as thrombosis, bleeding, or transformation to AML. But the study right now is specifically focused on those platelet and white blood cell counts as the key objective of the study.
That was Incyte's Peter Langmuir, and we were talking about Incyte's new clinical trial for a rare blood cancer. Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you.